and welcome to Indie Business Podcast. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Well, it is hot here in Charlotte. It is toasty warm, but believe it or not, the summer is almost over. But, you know, we never stop the good content, the good interviews, the useful information to help you build your business here at Indie Business Podcast. So we are braving the temperatures today, and we are continuing to make it happen. Now, there is some super cool stuff going on at Indie Business this week. We have a brand new local director in our Atlanta area. Her name is Ricky Ackerman. I want to give a shout-out to Ricky. Welcome to Indie Business. As a new local director, Ricky, we are so excited to have you. Also want to let you guys know that this Thursday, August the 18th, is our first Handmade Chat. You can check it out on Twitter at twitter.com/handmadechat. We're going to be chatting it up about all things handmade. Now, you know, handmade businesses are all the rage today. You're making things, you're an artisan, you are working your small business, selling things. We want to connect you with your colleagues around the country, and we also want to connect you with people who can help your business grow and with retailers who are looking for your product. So make sure you join us for the first Handmade Chat, August 18th, 2011, twitter.com/handmadechat to follow the information and make sure that you're there when we get started for 30 minutes. And by the way, we're going to go from 8 to 8:30 Eastern Time, and at 8:30 we're going to start an after chat for people who can't get enough of the chatting about handmade. So we're going to let things continue for people who want to hang on there for a while. But we are officially going to go for 30 minutes. It's our first one, so we're going to see how things go. And speaking of seeing how things go, our guest today is really an expert at helping people see how things go where their businesses are concerned. Her name is Felicia Joy, and she is the author of Hybrid Entrepreneurship: How the Middle Class Can Beat the Slow Economy, Earn Extra Income, and Reclaim the American Dream. Felicia Joy is a nationally recognized entrepreneur. She has created tremendous value for various organizations and companies. She has served in corporate America before launching her own business. She is often called upon to discuss the ins and outs of entrepreneurial success. She's appeared on CNN, Fox, and other national media, and she operates Ms. CEO, Inc., a media merchandise and events company that inspires women entrepreneurs to be savvy, profitable, and bold in business. Ah, a woman after our own hearts, right? Felicia, welcome to Indie Business Podcast.
Thank you, Donna Maria. Thank you so much for having me on.
Now, you have a story to tell, because I can tell. I don't even have to open this book to see that you had a story, because the subtitle is a story: How the Middle Class Can Beat the Slow Economy, Earn Extra Income, and Reclaim the American Dream. You know, there's a lot of books out there on small business, but this one just makes my heart go pitter-patter because it hits people where they are. Tell us about the story behind this book, Felicia.
Yes, absolutely. The story behind this book, Donna Maria, is really, I would say, our national story right now, and that's the fact that at an individual level and at a governmental level and at an organizational level for some companies, debt is one of our biggest problems. Before the recession hit, America had a negative savings value. People are doing better now with saving, but you see what's going on with the national debt crisis, and you saw some huge iconic name brand companies go out of business because they were over-leveraged with debt. So for me, I wrote this book because the American dream is not about working all the time and being stressed about money. It's really about enjoying life and being able to have opportunity for yourself and your family. So this book is a roadmap for that middle-class family who is now trying to figure out, our mutual funds are declining, our 401ks are down, our jobs may be stable, but we're just not sure about the financial future with regard to a job, so we want to secure ourselves. This is the roadmap to make sure you protect and stabilize and secure your income.
Protect, stabilize, and secure your income. So, you know, there was a time, right, Felicia, when protect, stabilize, secure your income meant have a job. And we have right. obviously moved from that. But, you know, God bless you if you can get a job. I love a job. It's a very, very good thing. But tell us a little bit about what happens. I mean, you've done a lot of research, you've done a lot of interviewing and talking with people about preparing for this book. What is happening out there that is causing this to become such an important issue, not just the debt crisis, but really in people's houses at their kitchen tables, Felicia?
Yes. The national and international economies have changed. It's been a long time coming. There are a few things happening. Number one is automation. Who doesn't, even for a small business owner, up to a very large multinational, multi-billion-dollar corporation, who doesn't want to find a way to run their business less expensively? Anyone who runs a business knows when you look at your spreadsheets and your income statements and your expense statements, the highest expense quite often for a business, especially in America, is a labor cost. So companies have figured out how to run businesses with more automation, with more technology, with a lower cost labor overseas, and all these things have come home to roost. On top of that, all over the world now, people have access to international media and social media, so they see the lives that middle-class people live in America and live in Europe. They see that we have freedoms, we have democracy, we have all these material things available to us, and they want a piece of it. So the largest populations in the world, in China, in South America, in Africa, they now have growing middle classes. So there's pulling on these resources. There's enough for everyone, but what's happening is a shift, and companies are responding to that. Corporations now have $2 trillion sitting on the sidelines that they refuse to spend on hiring more people because they want to keep costs low. So basically, what people now have to do is learn it's just a new reality we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe you think it is. You have to adjust your thinking on that and prepare to operate with a new strategy.
Oh, goodness. I love that you said that. And, you know, I quit my job voluntarily 11 years ago to start my own business, and I was the odd man out at that time. Nobody was doing that at the time. People thought I was nuts. Sometimes I thought I was a little bit nuts, and I think I kind of had to be at the time to do it. But what you're saying is that the mindset that people like me had back then is something that's more commonplace now. And how do you help people embrace that, Felicia? That's a challenge for a lot of people who have always worked and done well working for someone else all their lives.
It is a challenge, Donna Maria, but it really takes a focus on the facts of what's facing us now. Some people actually may be in a situation where they won't necessarily have to face it or change anything because they're so far along in their career and maybe they've saved a lot of money and invested it well and they're okay. But for people now in college, for people who are not in that position financially, which is most people are not in that position. The Wall Street Journal wrote an article about 2 months ago and said the average American, more than 50% of Americans said, if they needed $2,000 for an emergency, they could not put their hands on it immediately. So I think that speaks to the state of financial affairs. So the way that you do it is just to accept where we are now, and then to just realize that you are empowered to do something about it. And it doesn't have to be stressful. That's why I enforce the concept of hybrid entrepreneurship, because you have a full-time job. What you want to now do is tap into your talents and skills and start a part-time business. It gives you an opportunity to grow that business and make it successful before something happens, or if you decide you want to leave your job, you've already proven that you have a valid business model.
So let's describe what hybrid entrepreneurship is specifically. Is there a succinct definition that you can share?
Yes, it's both a strategy and a philosophy. The strategy is have a full-time job, build a part-time business. Why? Because when you have a business idea, at that point it's just an idea, so you need to test it to make sure it's going to work. So when you have a full-time job and you start your business part-time, you have an opportunity to do that without putting your livelihood at stake. The philosophical part of it is we need to buy from local small businesses and entrepreneurs. We have to change the pattern of cash flow in this country. If we've got large companies sitting on $2 trillion that they're not going to spend, we need to spend more of our money with local businesses and entrepreneurs who are going to create the jobs in our communities and give back into our communities.
I love that you said that. So, and that philosophical part, right, is really where our listeners, if they aren't already there, they need to start with that, right? Just understanding the philosophy of, as you said, changing the pattern of cash flow.
That's right, Donna Maria, because for me, for example, when I buy clothes, I know a local boutique owner. I go as much as I can to her store. When I'm buying clothes or jewelry, I buy from her. I get my hair done with a local small entrepreneur. When I eat, I try to go to locally owned restaurants. What that's doing is it's creating a cycle of money recycling in your community instead of going to national chains. Now, sometimes it may not always be possible, but Forbes says that the average American household spends about $45,000 in money each year on consumer items. If you take only 10% of that, $4,500, and make a committed effort to spend that with local small businesses in your community, you're going to change eventually the dynamics of your community when you get a lot of people doing that same thing.
And Felicia, you know, that's one of the reasons why I recently launched the local program. I think you heard at the top of the show that we have a new director in Atlanta, which, by the way, everyone, is where Felicia is.
Yes, and we are
working on driving that point home with our membership, with our local directors who are on the ground for the national organization representing and really bringing the community together from all walks of life. So I'm really glad you said that. So, Felicia, let's talk to people who, let's just say we've got someone out there right now who has a full-time job, and let's just say they're kind of feeling like, you know, the axe might be coming. It's not as secure as they thought it was for a while. And let's just also say, Felicia, we can talk to people who just really aren't happy at their job anymore, and they're wondering if it's really worth whatever the trade-offs are. How can that person begin to... They've already adopted your mindset, right? They have a hybrid entrepreneur philosophy already at work. What do they do? What are the first things they do to move that train forward, Felicia?
The first thing is to do a brain dump of your skills and talents. How do you currently make money? How have you made money in the past? What are the ways that you've been able to use your skills to generate income, whether that was on a job or at a business that you may have had in the past? You want to look at what skills you have that can generate income, because what you're basically looking for is an idea. And here's the thing too, Donna Maria, a lot of people think they have to have this amazing, grandiose, innovative idea. Innovation is awesome, love it, but it is sometimes overrated, because guess what? Restaurants are still making money, hairstylists are still making money, nail technicians, you mentioned that your new director in Atlanta is an herbalist, health and wellness people are making money. Think about simple ideas that generate money that people need that you can implement in your local area with great, consistent service. Start there, and then you've got to work on a plan.
Okay, so once you analyze your talents and your gifts, as you say, and let's not forget, right, to also include the skills that you've learned on the job that you have.
That's right. I talk extensively about that in hybrid entrepreneurship. At a job, you do so many different things. You have your core competency that you work on, but chances are you've helped other departments work on events or different projects. And also, if you know that you're going to be starting a business part-time, you can begin to ask for more responsibility in areas that you think you may be interested in, so you can get your skills up in that area and see what you can do with it on your own in a business.
Now, Felicia, let's talk for a second about the mechanics of actually doing this. You have a job. You may like it, you may not like it, but it's a job, right? So you need to protect that asset as you move forward starting a business. But today, it's hard to start a business without also putting yourself out there as a business owner. What advice can you give to hybrid entrepreneurs who need to have a job and need to be starting a business, but don't want to be, you know, rubbing it in their employer's face that, you know, they have this new blog about this new business they're starting?
Right. That would not be smart to do that. So what you've got to do is establish a phone number for your business that rings to your cell phone so that you're never taking, for example, business calls on your employer's line. You do not want to be on their internet, on their computers doing business. If you can take time on your laptop at lunchtime or after work, then that's when you do it. So basically what I'm saying, Donna Maria, is there are so many tools now that make it easy to do business no matter where you are, on a smartphone, on a laptop, but you want to structure your time around your employer and focusing on their work and then your business and focusing on your work, and you do that by time management and a schedule.
Time management and a schedule. Okay, so you want to think about the ideas that you have and then do you pick one? Do you say, okay, these are the three best ideas I have that I can also make money with? And let's not forget that. It's not just an idea. It's an idea that you think can also make money. And after you've done that, do you try one? Do you kind of try all three? What are some of the experiences you can share from the people that you interviewed for your book?
Yes, I can speak to you actually about my own personal experience as well as another woman that I interviewed for an example. For my own personal experience, I had several ideas and things morphed because one of the original ideas I had was a social network specifically for women in business. I launched that. It was called Wall Street Chic. Well, that was before everything started happening with the market. Well, when the market went down, I didn't want the name Wall Street in my company name because that was no longer in vogue. Who wanted to be associated with anything with Wall Street in the name? And on top of that, Facebook started coming on strong. So with people being so focused on Facebook, who was going to want to then spend extra time on yet another social network? So I had to change my business model. So what you do is you have an idea, you put it out there, you plant the seed, you see what comes back. If it's not working, if it's not growing, you tweak until you find what's right, and you tweak until you find that ideal target customer, which is the person who is spending money with you.
That is a good target customer. We're talking today with Felicia Joy. She is the author of Hybrid Entrepreneurship. This is a fantastic book. You can get it on Amazon. You can also follow Felicia on Twitter at, very easy to spell, twitter.com/Felicia Joy, where she tweets about entrepreneurship, focused mainly on women and people who also have jobs and sort of have this hybrid entrepreneurship thing going on. You talked about having to be flexible, that you started a social network, but, you know, your business had a social network associated with it. You didn't like the name. You had to change things. Talk for a little bit, Felicia, to people who may not understand that, for lack of a better term, I kind of like to say business today has to be constantly in a state of beta. I mean, you're always trying something new. You're always have to be willing to wake up the next morning and go, whoops, that Wall Street name's not going to work anymore, and what's my 48-hour plan to change it so I don't lose my customer base? How do you help people embrace that notion of that kind of rapid change?
Right. So business is not actually just about the business in the early days. It's about the owner as well. I call business a constant process of self-improvement because in the early days, the business doesn't have anybody else involved in it, and it cannot outgrow the owner. So you have to be really flexible if you want your business to grow because it can't outgrow you and your vision. So that's the first thing, is just realizing it's not just like that for you. Don't consider it a failure. It's like that for everyone. It's a reiterative process where you start with an idea. Basically, your customers will give you feedback by either buying or not buying, or by buying a lot when you do certain things, tweaking your pricing, tweaking product options, tweaking names of products, tweaking when it's available. As you're tweaking those things, you will see differences. Pay attention to those things. Pay attention to what your customers are saying. Pay attention to feedback you get. Social media is an extraordinary tool for doing that. All those things are directional signage that will help you get on the right path and eventually get in that Lamborghini and hit the gas and go.
Get in the Lamborghini. Okay, I wish we had enough time to get to the Lamborghini part. I'm going to have you back to talk a little bit more about that. But I like that idea because it shows that, you know, you're encouraging people to think big. And, you know, everyone has to crawl before they walk. Well, 99% of us do anyway. You have to crawl before you walk. You have to put things out there and change them around. But what you're saying is that if you have a small business, you are constantly involved in your own personal development, right? And that, I mean, I really think that one of the greatest assets of having a business is that by default, you are personally developing yourself, and that's going to make your life better no matter what.
That's right. You have to. You really have to be the visionary, the voice, and the leader of your business. People aren't going to buy into it unless you do. So it's really critical that you know that going in. It's really critical that you have a plan, that you know your numbers, you know how much it's going to take you to get started, how much you're going to have in expenses, and that you really focus on marketing and tweaking and tracking and measuring everything you're doing so you know exactly where you need to change.
And Felicia, what do you tell people who look at that list of things to do and say, my goodness, this is an awful lot. How do I begin to organize this? What are your tips for, really, as you mentioned earlier, it's about time management and I guess really priority management, because once you know what your priorities are, then you can manage your time. But how do you help people, really get the help they need, right? Because nobody can run a business all by themselves.
That's right. You have to make your business systematic, Donna Maria. Before you can build those systems deeply into the business, though, you really need to know what the business is. I can't tell you how many people I have talked to and was once like this myself, who if you say, well, what does your business do? What is your product or service? They either can't really clearly tell you that, mm-hmm. and if it takes you more than a sentence to say that, then you really aren't clear about it yet.
Right.
They can't tell you that, or they have a long laundry list of things because it seems impressive. But really, you don't want to do that either because your business needs to be as simple as possible in the early days. You want to focus in. You want to generate profits. That's where you need to start.
Okay. This is so great. Felicia Joy is delivering here, you guys. Giving us some real solid encouragement and real solid tips that we can use. So, Felicia, let's talk to people who have decided what the business is, and they can in one sentence they can tell you in one sentence exactly what they do. The elevator speech is down in terms of it's working and everybody can understand what it is that they do. What do you tell them, Felicia, in today's economy about financing their businesses?
Yes, very good question, Donna Maria. So you know what business you want to start. You can articulate that. There are incredible tools now available for people who can do that and do it with passion and inspirational delivery. This is also a part of the hybrid entrepreneurship philosophy. We have all, through our 401ks and mutual funds, invested in businesses that we have no idea about, don't know the people who operate them, don't really know what goes on, and quite frankly, with the market going down, have lost money in it. So we, for one thing, need to get in the habit of being willing to invest in or lend to one another's businesses. You can do that through a few tools. There is a website called prosper.com where everyday people like you and I are lending money to one another. I am a lender on there. I've lent to other people to either get out of debt or start businesses. You can go on that website and get loans of up to $25,000 at competitive interest rates. And this is from everyday people who are putting in small amounts of money, $300, $400, $500, $1,000 here and there, coming together to loan money to other people. There is also a website called Kickstarter.com where you can go on, you post a video saying, hey, this is the project I'm trying to get off the ground. People will give you money. I've also given money to people on that website. That one is not one that you have to pay back. On Prosper, you have to pay the money back. On Kickstarter.com, you don't pay the money back. What you do is you give people rewards for contributing to your project, and the rewards usually are whatever your product or service are. So those are two awesome hands-on tools you can use to raise money to launch your business.
Thank you for sharing that. Prosper.com and Kickstarter.com. I have a colleague who got, I think, $5,000 in Kickstarter funding for her book
Yes.
It was a soap-making book. And in exchange for the contributions, everybody got an autographed copy of the book once it was published.
Exactly. And you know what, Donna Maria, we talked about a few minutes ago, testing ideas. That's an awesome way to both test your idea and raise money for it at the same time, because nobody's going to contribute to something that they don't think is awesome or cool. So if people are willing to give to your idea, that means they like it. That means that they're contributing, you're going to start it, and they're going to buy from you more later.
It's all about putting yourself and your vision out there. And I think people get hung up on, what if I do that and it doesn't work out the way I want? Or what if I do that and I don't know what to do next? Or what if I do that and it's not clear what the next step is going to be? And one of the things that you're sharing is how important it is to create the idea and solidify the platform and then put it out there in carefully selected places, even though you don't know exactly what's going to happen next.
That's right, Donna Maria. There's a great quote by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. that says, to get up a staircase, you don't have to see all the way up it. You just need to take the first step. And that's what we really have to focus on, the here and now, what's the next best step and the next best decision, which, by the way, is what Oprah is saying about her network right now. What's the next best decision I can make to move this thing forward? So just consider it in that early stage, something that you're testing. You're sort of a scientist in a lab seeing what will work. And that's all you really want to do is find what will work, because once you find what's going to work and you find your target market, that's the sweet spot. That's when it gets really fun, because you can just focus in on serving that market.
I'm glad that you mentioned Oprah, because I think, you know, we've seen the news. We know about her own network, which I think is such a genius thing, the Oprah Winfrey Network OWN. I love that.
Yes.
That acronym. But, you know, I remember doing a blog post about that called An Unscripted Future at IndieBusinessBlog.com. It was all about what you're saying, which is I'm putting it out there. It could be a colossal failure. This is a woman who has had success like nobody's business, and she's trying something. It's in her genre because it's media, but it is totally new. She doesn't have a roadmap that really speaks to her specifically. She's put it out there, and she's walking up those stairs not knowing what's at the top.
That's right, and we should all look to her as inspiration in that regard. If here's a woman who is a multi-billionaire, a great track record, and she's willing to risk that because – you know, your ego could get involved in that, and you say, well, I can't risk that because I have such a track record. I don't want to now do something that's not a home run. We should look to her as a model. And here's another thing, Donna Maria, a great quote from Henry Ford. He said, failure is only the opportunity to start again, this time more wiser.
Oh, right. And how great when we can do something and not succeed at it, but then learn something that we put to good use for the next time around. Felicia Joy, author of Hybrid Entrepreneurship, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, your experience, and most importantly, your hybrid entrepreneurship philosophy. Tell us, Felicia, where we go to learn more about you, maybe see a book signing, hear you speak. Do we need to come down to Atlanta?
I welcome you to come on down to Atlanta. I would love to do that. But the best place to get in touch with me is on my Twitter, as you said, at Felicia Joy, FeliciaJoy, or on my website, FeliciaJoy.biz. I blog on there, and you can also email me. I'll answer your questions and do anything I can to help you.
Okay, that is just fantastic. Lots of different ways to get in touch with our guest today, Felicia Joy, author of the book Hybrid Entrepreneurship, about how the middle class can beat the slow economy, earn extra income, and reclaim the American dream. I am all for that, and I know you guys are too, because you are the indies. You are the small business owners who are out there tackling the challenges one at a time, one after the other. I encourage you to do what Felicia said and make sure that you have your priorities down so you can manage your time well. Make sure that you're connected locally. Felicia, I love that you talked about the importance of making sure that that you are putting those dollars back into your local economy. That's a win-win-win-win-win situation when everyone does that. So thank you so much for sharing that and for sharing from your wisdom. Fantastic to have you here. Guys, remember, Handmade Chat, Thursday nights, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Handmade Chat, twitter.com/handmade chat. And come on over to theindiebusinessnetwork.com and connect locally, as Felicia said, all business owners in your area. We're going to be following you, Felicia, on twitter.com/FeliciaJoy. We'll see you next week right here on Indie Business Podcast. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.